dropped, decurving note, the past tense is used as it refers to a moment frozen in time, as the ice of a hockey rink is frozen or a vintage photograph of the good old hockey game. Hockey typifies the Canadian tradition. It is the Canadian tradition in miniature and spans the history of Canada during a time when the nation was being built by the creativity of the Aryan race. In its traditional form, hockey was a game of will and skill where the players were pitted against one another in a microcosm of the macrocosm of eternal struggle and for victory over the opponent. However, this game was a game of rules, of order, that microcosmically embodied the laws of the cosmos as above so below, so the struggle which was played out on the earth plane, on the ice, was not a free-for-all of ruthless savagery. As such, it was decidedly Aryan in its nature, was rule-based and was a channeling of the will to power consciously directed towards a goal. The goal was to score a team victory by the simple and yet paradoxically complex deposition of a rubber disc into a net, a representation perhaps of a Vimana from above directed through Aryan will into the skull's net of the matrix reality of the material planet deposited there deliberately and with the intention of stooping to conquer, to spiritualize the material world against the demiurge. The rules were the parameters in which the conscious entity, the Aryan, had to play with in order to play at all, the violation of which consigning him to the penalty box or to forfeit the game entirely. The rink was the arena or theater of the real in which the Aryan played at war and which battle was confined within its bounds circumscribed by the rules of the game. It was a game in which two opposing teams vied with one another for dominance and sought to succeed in scoring the most goals, meaning that the players would move the puck with their sticks and attempt to move it into the net past the player whose task was to prevent it, again, within his own circumscribed sphere called a crease. One might liken the puck to the soul, initially black or unenlightened, being moved throughout the rink and undergoing various experiences until finally retiring when the game ends, being used by all the players and being carried from one into the other by them after initially being dropped into the face-off circle at the commencement of the game, the incarnation of a soul into matter, into the material world of illusion to undergo experience. Both opposing sides being comprised of white people, the traditional creators of the game, the competition was always friendly and it was understood that, though it was ruthless, it was nonetheless a game, even if for many it was a lifestyle and indeed equated with life itself, a living, breathing and experiencing of the game, perhaps intuitively understanding it to be a microcosm of the macrocosm and understanding oneself as a white person, as possessed of the blood of the Aryan, and hence the blood memory of the white gods, Quetzalcoatl, the Hyperborean Divaeas, who incarnated on the earth and intermixed with the anthropoids to liberate them from the cycles of time, of reincarnation and otherwise inevitable extinction through the weakening of their souls within that cyclicism, the eternal return. The teams became, as the whites looked more favorably upon the Redskins of North America and to some extent the Greenlanders and Mongoloids of Scandinavia, more intermixed, and this is where the corruption set in through a mixture of the castes, even if only within the context of a microcosm of the macrocosm. Only a game after all. This sentimentalism, this other regard for the non-white hybrids who were already liberated from the wheel of incarnation by the Hyperborean Divaeas millennia before instilling the anthropoids with their blood. Nonetheless, the same blood was a great presence in the closest relative to the Divaeas, the white race, and accordingly they allowed the Redskins to participate in the game with them. This made the game a more antagonistic venture when red combined with white and sullied its purity, though enabling it to accommodate the changes necessary for its evolution into the consciousness of the other. Perhaps this was a mistake. Perhaps a miscalculation and indeed a violation of their rules of the game in the larger matrix of mundane reality. Perhaps they should simply have accorded themselves off in rigid caste structure and attempted to maintain a crystallized state of being? But then the demiurge would take the souls of the non-whites to fuel itself, creating ever greater entropy and creating yet further catastrophes as its evil tide swept across the cosmos. Hence the Aryan within the fallen whites had to sacrifice itself to the war against the dark forces and to, so to speak, take a step back from their own development, remaining within the Mayavik plane to combat the enemy on the earth and to give the non-white a chance at liberation, and this for the greater good. Perhaps they were in error and the non-whites had already been liberated. To the extent it was possible for them to attain a higher state of being? Nonetheless, the whites tested themselves as a distinct group against the Redskins in racially segregated teams for a time, a means of instructing the Redskins in the superlative will and skill of Aryan mankind and demonstrating their willingness to coexist in a state of dynamic tension with the Redskins through this microcosmic means. The game of hockey was a training ground not only for the will but for a greater sense of organization and collective action towards a common purpose, that which enabled future leaders and followers of leaders to play their proper role according to their rules of the game of life, according to their proper nature, as the Roman maxim suum cuique best exemplifies. Hence, within this theater of the real of hockey, each player played his role according to their proper nature. The defensemen, of which there were two, played within the confines of the blue and red or center line predominantly, which served to prevent the opposing team from scoring on their own team's goalie, getting the puck past the red line of the goal net and to the intended victory. The defensemen were trained to defend, if need be with brutal force, the goalie and offensive players. The latter's task was to move aggressively and yet with superlative skill towards the opposing team's net and score for their side. The blue line of each side of the rink demarcated the zone of that team on whose side it was, and blue signified the sedation of the opponent's assault, its opposition and slowing by the opposite side's team. It also signifies a higher spiritual state of being, a transmutation of consciousness as the opposing team exited the red zone of the lower passions, of the animal mind and its confinement to the material plane, and entered the realm of the higher mind of a higher spiritual consciousness which blue represented, leading towards the gold spiritualization of the material. The game was played in the realm of becoming, in the mundane world and subject to temporalization, the time flow of the demiurge. The time was demarcated in the form of a circle, 3,600 seconds divided into three periods of 1,200 seconds comprising 60 minutes. The usage of the sexagesimal system connoted the degrees of a full circle for the eternal return full circle. The referee wore a suit of black and white stripes which connoted the polarity of black and white, the visible and the invisible worlds, spirit and matter, the dynamism of life and physical death. He was a neutral party reconciling the opposites in the dialectic of alchemical transmutation, deciding fairly according to the rules which governed all players and being everywhere, observing from a distance and ideally nowhere within the sight of any, so as not to interfere with the fluidity of the play as a higher dimensional being punishing and guiding the souls who have incarnated in matter within the material plane. The plexiglass surrounding the rink further signified the mediation of the game from the spectators who had to pay to play, paying the middleman interloper who transformed a game of consciousness shifting experience into a commercialized venture that was carried on for profit, a mere business or show business. The plexiglass which screened off the viewer form the viewed obscured their sight of the game and created distance that separated them from the transmutation process of gameplay, just as money mediated and ultimately controlled their creative action in the world of tradition, transforming it into the world of modernity, subordinate to the simulacral nature of the economy, the abstraction of the quintessence in the form of the universal value form. This transition of hockey from its traditional form within the context of a traditional society to an anti-traditional society was itself but a microcosm of the macrocosm of degeneration and the imprisonment within the matrix of they who entered it as a means of exiting it, and in doing so defeating the forces of darkness and liberating the souls of the captives of the demiurge. Now it is the bottom of the Kali Yuga, the nadir of the cycles of time, and the white race faces its last battle. The good old hockey game is submerged in the encrustation of demiurgic commercial waste and has become as the Aryan, fallen, having lost its first estate. The battle now lies in the mundane world against they who have transformed the organic culture of men of race into a bastardized product of anti-race, the steroidal, big-budget demiurgic form of what hockey and indeed modernity as a whole now is no longer hockey, but rather a simulacrum of tradition qua hockey. Tradition as it expresses itself in hockey. The sport of the Northern Light is but dimly glowing at this time, and the spark can only be rekindled by the might of the blood of the Aryan, the will and skill which transformed itself on blades of steel which carried the puck into the net before the buzzer of the demiurge sounded the death knell of those souls who refused to give battle and so died a coward's death, a mere spectator in the theater of the real. Keep your stick on the ice and your head in the game, Reed. Evola, Metaphysics of War Nietzsche, Will to Power Serrano, Resurrection of the Hero Street Fighter Traditionalist Archetypes. The Japanese video game franchise Street Fighter, especially in its earliest incarnations, is a presentation of the perspective of the Japanese as regards the world's situation up to that time, future prognostication and an evaluation of the other. The various characters within the microcosmal scenario or context of a world tournament serve to illustrate the reality of life within the mundane plane, the reality of race war and the inevitability of conflict between the diverse groups on the Earth, their historical role, mission and destiny. Of course, given that the video game was a presentation of a Japanese perspective and moreover an Americanized Japan subordinate to world jury, if only to a degree, the game is, perhaps under the influence of jury, an inversion of the reality of world historical events and of the realities of this world. Hence it must be understood to be a simulacral reality, appropriate enough given its virtual nature, as a representation of a representation. Regardless of the diabolical influence of jury, the game manages to reveal at least a partial truth and not a complete inversion, with the hybridized consciousness of the Japanese manifesting itself through a glass darkly, the mixture of the Aryan Ainu and indigenous Oriental people creating a lack of consistency and resolve as regards their adherence to truth, perhaps an incapacity to understand or fully comprehend truth. This is revealed in the cartoon He-Man, wherein Beast-Man dwells in illusion and He-Man dwells in eternity. An overview of the storyline gives insight into this inversion or distortion of the truth. Shadow Lu is an international terrorist drug cartel that seeks world domination and power and is headed by a figure who appears reminiscent of Adolf Hitler. The archetype already can be seen to be inverted, with Hitler being portrayed from the Judeo-Christian egalitarian liberal humanist perspective as evil, the archetype of the shadow. The inversion lies in the fact that Hitler was the archetype of traditional values, of the higher man, of the hero, the self-sacrificer, he who elevates and creates a spiritualized world through emphasizing the noble and good in the classical sense, and if not eliminating them, at least not elevating the weak and defective so that they can't displace their betters. Adolf Hitler, being a representative, an archetype, of nobility, was and is the light of the black sun shining upon the earth, and was wholly against the usage of drugs and other substances to tear down and destroy others. This transposition of roles, with Hitler being defiled and portrayed as a mere head of a drug cartel, is characteristic of Jewish black magic. It is in fact the Jew who is this figure, while the Aryan is he who elevates and improves the lives of his own and indeed of others, if overall harmonious and beneficial for the higher man. The character of M. Bison is more representative in his behavior of the Jew, the organic lie, as Alfred Rosenberg referred to him. The Jew is largely in control of the international drug trade and has as his motive the elimination of all of those people who are sufficiently healthy and strong to resist his despotic influence. Hence the inversion of the character of M. Bison, or the ego, is a characteristic scapegoating tactic on the part of jury in the latter's attempt to transfer their sins onto those they hate. The character of Vega represents the archetype of Aryan man as viewed from the frog perspective of Judeo-Christianity and what would be called evil within this Schandel creed of the Intermensch. Vega is a star in the Lyrian constellation and is a star which will, during the Aquarian Age, become the pole star that will replace the current pole star around which the Earth revolves, forming the swastika of the New Age. Hence the connotation to Nazism and the swastika are implicit in the name and character of Vega. The figure of Vega, his physiognomy, his skin tone and behavior, are all characteristically Germanic. He is a square-jawed figure with a high forehead and centered eyes, the eyes of a predator, aesthetically representing the Aryan archetype, though perverted with a violence which is embodied in his psycho power, the vril or odic force. This is the force of the black sun, of which it is a distorted representation, the radiations of the black sun from the pole of the hollow earth and the hidden sun, the central sun of the galactic center. The star of Vega has the characteristics of Venus and Mercury according to astrological lore in the ancient almanacs, and was referred to in Vedism as a star of good omen that led to the vanquishing of the Asuras, the dark forces who are bound up with Jury. The former position of the pole star is occupied during the time of Atlantis, hence connoting the Atlantean origin of the Aryan race and its supplantation from that position occurring simultaneous to the fall of Atlantis. The cycles of time dictate a new advent of this star ascending in the Aquarian Age. That Vega has the characteristics of Venus and Mercury is also noteworthy, as Venus, being Lucifer, refers to the transcendent nature of the Aryan, and Mercury being a star representative of wisdom and intellect connotes this property of the Aryan as well. Associations with Saturn and Jupiter also apply, meaning it is a star of expansion and power as well as restriction and control. The grey-green uniforms of the National Socialists connote Saturnian restriction, death and limitation within the aeon of Pisces, but, as in the case of the Totenkopf symbol they wore, a resurrection of the Virya or hero through combat against the evil tide of the Demiurge in the age of Aquarius, a liberation of Saturn from the dark forces who have the planetary arc and Crotos and Tuas Saturn enslaved by the ice rings which are surrounding it, already melting by the Christ ray and the second coming of the Christ, the Black Sun, i.e. the increase of radiations from the galactic center through the next stages of the Manvantara. Vega, being one of the brightest stars in the sky, is the light of the north, of the Golden Age, which will reappear in the coming age, which is already upon us. The portrayal of Vega as something malevolent or negative in the game Street Fighter is a typical inversion of Beastman expressing his jealousy of the Aryan through defilement tactics. Either this or the Japanese video game developers were attempting to portray the Nazis as represented by Vega as having perverted the gnosis of star lore and put themselves on a pedestal unjustly, or at least having unjustly treated others and thus having been evil in the Judeo-Christian sense. Vega's appearance in a red and blue uniform are connotative of the impassioned nature of Mars, of anger and aggression, the Saturnian colors of his gray cape, the spiritual color of his blue stripes with steel armor plating further connoting Mars and the martial element. Red and blue also perhaps connote the Ida and Pingala nadis of the occult anatomy, with the white Shushumna replaced with a gray cape for a failed integration of the soul. The metal greaves worn over the German jackboots are an allusion to the Germanic Knight of the Ghibellines and the Hohenstaufens of Frederick Barbarossa. Hence the inversion of the Aryan Superman into a stereotypical character of Judeo-Christian evil, a dark, violent, malevolent force which delights in conquest and power and the supersession of others. The reality of the Aryan Superman is otherwise, a figure who conquers and dominates to enhance and elevate all sentient life on Earth, which has merit and demonstrates it through its will to power and superlative merit and talent, or that which serves that which has merit and talent, thus creating greater rather the lesser overall harmony in Earth. Another member of Shadow Lu is Sagat, a Muay Thai fighter from Thailand whose fight orients around self-development and achieving excellence as a warrior figure. The character is portrayed in the game as having flaws, meaning his inherent defect centers around his lack of higher focus or direction of willpower, presumably toward the heaven world of spiritual heights. Because of his focus on the personality and temporal power rather than focusing his consciousness on the higher states of being, he is portrayed as having lost an eye in the midst of combat within the material plane and can be likened to the figure of Wotan, who sacrifices an eye for wisdom only inverted, sacrificing wisdom for temporal power and reputation. Hence can be seen yet another inversion of reality, with the fact of temporal power being associated with a lack of wisdom, which is false as the two are bound up with one another and not separable. Hence the portrayal of he who seeks temporal power as blind, lacking in wisdom, can only be said to be accurate to the extent of the lack of either of these modalities of human activity. Here yet again the implied criticism of they who are oriented toward worldly goals and objectives only bears a discordant ring and not the ring of truth. Sagat is representative of Wotan fallen, and being Thai is historically associated with primordial Buddhism, which is astrologically correspondent with Mercury, who is Wotan, Buddha being the mercurial archetype, and saffron or orange being a color astrologically correspondent with Mercury, and which is associated with intellectualism, the cunning of reason and wisdom. The name Sagat means blocker in Thai, further underscoring the inversion of the mercurial archetype, as rather than an attainment of wisdom, an obstruction or blocking of wisdom through worldly orientation. The orientation of Sagat is one initially while under the influence of the international drug cartel Shadow Luo for temporal focus, and later, after presumably having an epiphany of sorts, he shifts his focus toward fighting the fight outside affiliation with Shadow Luo and hence fights the greater jihad rather than the lesser, overcoming his previous limitations through an imminent transcendence working within his tradition and not allowing himself to be overcome by an obsession with temporal power at the expense of his true will. His decision to shift his focus, however, was not made out of a moralizing choice to conform to so-called ethics, as he, being of a mercurial Buddhistic orientation, had obtained a state beyond good and evil and thus chose to follow a higher path of self-overcoming, not self-limitation. Thus can be seen in this story of Sagat the ethics of aristocratic nobility entering in, or rather revealing themselves on the part of the Japanese creators who, in spite of the American influence, manifest their authentic Japanese character through this figure. The Muay Thai fighter Sagat also is a representation of Thai tradition, and his Muay Thai trunks being blue and orange, but more blue than orange, connote a transitioning away from the influence of the previous age of Pisces, with the external sun radiating its rays off the Earth's surface toward the emanations of the black sun in the age of Aquarius, the true color of the sun, and shifting his focus away from the cunning of reason toward higher spiritual gnosis. That Sagat has a shaved head not only connotes the tradition of Thai fighters but that of Theravada Buddhist monks, and thus his transition from a corrupted and underdeveloped form of praxis through affiliation with Shadow Luo toward an independent path, the path of enlightenment and the doctrine of awakening through Buddhistic ascesis. It is a known fact that fighters, like Buddhist monks, practice the retention of semen in order to work up their vital force toward the higher energy centers and for the purpose of increasing viril, chi, the life force by whatever name it may be called. Sagat unifies the opposites of spirit and matter as a Luciferian being and attains a state of enlightenment through that means. The active nihilism of Buddhistic spiritual practice has its counterpart in Sagat's martial arts practice, with the temporal power of the Kshatriya warrior united with the spiritual authority of the Brahma under the rays of the black sun in the new golden age. Balrog, whose original name was M. Bison, is an affiliate of Shadow Luo, representative perhaps in the mind of the Japanese as one of the slave minions of the dark forces of the earth. This is a recurrent theme in much of Jewish propaganda, such as in their pop-cultural racially supremacist cartoon from the 30s Superman, and the episode of Superman vs. the Klan wherein the Ku Klux Klan is portrayed in the setting of darkest Africa, undergoing various voodoo rites with the savage Negroes. Thus a secret relationship between blacks and Nazis is established, when the reality is the secret relationship between blacks and Jews as outlined in the book of the same name by Louis Farrakhan. Hence the Aryan is associated with the savage of Africa, connoting an evil association in the Judeo-Christian sense, an association with the Abia and the Wanga, thereby aspersing the Aryan and indeed to some extent the Negro. This theme is represented in Street Fighter by its Japanese creators, and the thug of Shadow Luo, a Negro, is portrayed as a crude boxer, violently assaulting all and sundry. The Negro Balrog, whose name may also connote the Balrog or Cacodemon as portrayed in Tolkien's work, is also portrayed as a dirty fighter, a sneaking and mendacious figure. The morality of Balrog is yet another aspersion against Negroes and their lack of regard for this particular brand of ethics, being of a more titanic character exemplified in the pugilistic style of Balrog, throwing haymakers and low-blown easel gestures of directed force, a direct projection of will to power again against all and sundry. Vega is yet another figure who represents one of the Axis powers of World War II, that being Spain. He is a narcissistic sociopath, which is apparently a trait ascribed to Spaniards by the Japanese, the Spanish having been active in colonial exploits in the Orient for centuries and yet having failed to solidify any base of operations there, unlike other more powerful nations such as the French and England. This might be an implicit slander against the Spanish for their lack of capacity in their conquering endeavors. This view is also suggested in the video game Tenchu, Stealth Assassins, with the stage of the Spanish pirate captain being killed by the traditional Japanese samurai. The vanity of the Spaniard is affirmed to exist in the character of Vigo, is shown in his effeminate manners and his mask behind which he hides. Vega is a Shadowloo assassin, and in the Street Fighter animated movie he is portrayed as a sadistic abuser of women, a sadomasochist who merges the sex and death archetypes of Eros and Thanatos into a negative form of animosity toward the other. This character of the Spaniard may very well exist to an extent and may be attributable to the inclusion of Semitic blood through the Moorish invasion of Spain and its occupation and intermixture with the Aryan Spanish over centuries. The concomitant hybridization of these two groups to at least a slight extent has led to a character of the fallen nature, which is what led to the destruction of the Spanish Empire through overreaching. The case of Francisco Pizarro and Lope de Aguirre in the latter's search for El Dorado revealed a questing nature of the Aryan, but also his hubris. That Vega is portrayed as a bullfighter further connotes a masochistic hubris of personality within this Spanish archetype. Perhaps the arrogance of the character Vega is a representation of this trait of the Spaniard as well. Another affiliate of Shadowloo which creates confusion as to types who Shadowloo represents entirely the Aryan or the Judeo-Masonic cabal who rules behind the scenes, is the character of Zangief, a stereotypical Russian man of the people or working class hero. Zangief's appearance connotes the atheistic ideology of communism, Titanic, crudely materialistic and oriented around machines and industry, as the level of Zangief shows being situated in a military armaments factory. This also implicitly critiques the chthonic warlike quality of the Soviet, conveying that such an ideology leads only to the application of force of the lowest density, a spiritually hollow and vacuous world of lead in the age of lead, of lowest vibrational frequency. Zangief is portrayed as a relatively unintelligent brute with a slavish disposition, servile to Vega, the boss of Shadowloo. He is a representative of the typical worker, the mass man of the Jew world order, whose animal mind preponderates as he has no higher ideal than metal and machines, work, despising all higher forms of culture and forms of life. His animal mind is further underscored by his angry visage and hairy body, as well as his minimal garments being only a pair of red brief-style trunks, connotative also of the martial element, the Muladhara chakra. The figure of Blanca represents the Brazilian South American mongrel beast man. He is a feral creature who has purely animalistic qualities and has no capability of speech, but can only grunt like a brute. Even his fighting capacity is animalistic, entailing biting and the emission of electrical discharge, a shamanistic lower magical assault against the other opponent. Plinio Salgado, the founder of the Brazilian Integralist Party, was a half-breed of predominantly Portuguese extraction who sided with Adolf Hitler during the Second World War, and thus Blanca may be a mockery of this figure and his hybridized nature. Colombia, the major manufacturer of cocaine, and Venezuela also sided with Hitler amongst other South American nations, but most were largely neutral or untrustworthy allies owing to the treacherous Catholic Church's influence originally installed by the colonialist Portuguese and Spaniards. These colonists were led by their Jewish controllers to sabotage the pre-existent Aryan empires of Machu Picchu, Tiahuanaco and Tenochtitlan, taking advantage of the pacifism and altruism of the natives and mass slaughtering them in the name of God, the Demiurge, the Lord of Jury. Hence the portrayal of South America in the character of Blanco is an aspersion of the attempt on the part of the Catholic Church to impose upon all its leveling equality and dragging down all into a state of arrested development. The character of Rolento represents a characteristically militaristic American patriotard. Though his name is Italian and he has connotations of a Mussolini archetype, he is apparently German-American and an opponent of Shadowloo. Like a typical Anglo-American Zionist, his claim to opposing the evil of Shadowloo is largely a pretext for his own imperialism, and thus constitutes a critique of the hypocrisy of the Judeo-Christian Zionist and his militaristic propensity, even if servile to Jury and the latter's slave morality. Rolento is a negative and thus true representation of the green beret of the Vietnam vet patriotard variety. His beret is red, connoting martial qualities in an astrological sense, partaking of the qualities of violence and aggression. The color green connotes Venus and harmony, the heart or Anahata chakra, and red the base or Muladhara chakra, which the Anglo-American Empire represents as the golem of Jury, which Rolento typifies as its archetypical figure. His solid white eyes either connote a zombie-like character so common amongst the mind-controlled American cattle or an aspiration to attain godhood as a Virya, Kshatriya warrior hero archetype if only in his own mind. His aspiration to establish a militaristic utopia is very reminiscent of America, the Invincible Eagle. Guile is yet another typical instance of the American archetype, and even his name is appropriate, a guileful figure who, like Rolento, is a master of psychological warfare and deception, a representative of the Freemasonic despotism of America. His deceptive quality creates an inner schism and tension in his character which manifests in his defective fighting style, its externalization based largely on trickery and brute force, a perfect example of American foreign policy. He is the brother of Ken Masters, who is also the half-brother of Ryu. Ken Masters represents the blonde-haired American who has become fascinated with the East and its culture, becoming a karate expert. He embodies a typical American aggression as seen in his red-colored gi, and yet by virtue of becoming influenced by the East and spirituality in one of its martial manifestations, for example karate, he has transitioned away from the corruption of guile toward a more spiritual orientation of his consciousness. Thus he is capable of being a half-brother of Ryu, the modern Japanese archetype, seeking his tradition with zen-like detachment and the vehicle of karate serving as a mechanism of immanent transcendence. Judging from the fact that Ken has black eyes and somewhat oriental features, this might indicate he is a half-breed. In either case, the implication on the part of the game's creators is that the North American is capable only of the physical expression of violence and a deviant psychology based upon self-interest and power madness. This is of course true in part, but is not the complete story. Continuing to praise themselves with characteristically oriental guile, the creators of the game present another archetype of Japanese traditionalism which serves the dual purpose of making allowances for their affiliation with the Third Reich, that of an erstwhile affiliate of Shadowlu, the sumo wrestler E. Honda, who is some sort of Japanese police agent investigating Shadowlu causing the death of some of his fellow Japanese through their manufactured drugs. In the figure of E. Honda, the Japanese tradition is presented as rectified and no longer tainted with the affiliation of Shadowlu, and presented as a pure morally virtuous archetype of innocence in the Judeo-Christian sense, which may also be connoted by the rising sun in the stage of E. Honda. Yet more oriental infighting is presented in the character of Fei Long, a Bruce Lee archetype or archetype of the modern Chinese warrior who is portrayed as an extremely arrogant and contemptuous figure and a showman infatuated with his own image, while simultaneously having been, unlike the more traditionalist figure of Zhen who is a more mysterious and potentially humble type, corrupted by Western culture as a movie star. Hence the Japanese aspersion against the Chinese who is corrupted under the regime of Mao Zedong, some regions of China having sided with the Third Reich and even having been colonized by Japan, such as Manchukuo, though China still having accepted westernization. This is perhaps a further implication of poetic justice in the Chinese not having accepted Japanese colonization and instead having opted for Soviet westernization. The moral character of the Chinese is nonetheless upheld by the Japanese creators in the figure of Chun-Li, who represents the traditional, dutiful Chinese woman with her traditional costume, her stage being situated in a stereotypical Chinese city with street peddlers and rickshaws. The dutiful nature of Chun-Li is seen in her making it her life's mission to bring Vega to what is considered by the United Nations globalists justice as vengeance for Vega's orchestrating the death of Chun-Li's father. That the Interpol agent Chun-Li must play things by the book rather than seeking private vengeance as her law-abiding mentality dictates is a traditional mode of conduct according to her Confucianistic code of ethics. By praising the Oriental female, in a way a distant affiliate of theirs, they place themselves in the position to critique to a greater degree the white female kami. Kami in Japanese Shinto refers to any being which possesses awe-inspiring qualities. The figure of Kami in the video game franchise represents a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed MI6 agent who has become possessed by the psycho power of Vega, becoming his captive slave and covert assassin. This is seen in an episode of Street Fighter, the animated movie where Cammy employs her martial arts tactics to assassinate a politician by the name of Mr. Sellers, thereby implicitly conveying the relationship between Vigor or M. Bison and anti-Semitic Nazism and the latter's Shadow Lu organization. In Shinto, kami are considered to be of a double mind, and this is shown in the character's schizophrenic consciousness being controlled by Vigor and perhaps also being a subtle mockery of the white woman being double-minded or wayward in her loyalty, lacking constancy or consistency in principles. According to the Shinto law, one had an obligation to appease kami in order to gain their favor and avoid their wrath, not unlike the relationship most have to white women, and women in general. A parallel is best drawn between white women as archetypically represented by kami and kami, the natural spirits or divine forces of nature. They had two souls, one gentle and the other assertive, aggressive, irrational, the negative or lower octave of female consciousness, though this can have its positive traits just as the former can have its negative in being overly altruistic and other regarding without prudence or stability of judgment, heedless of the consequences of action. The souls are also hidden, one happy, one mysterious, further connoting the female nature of the external facade and the internal reality. The role of kami was also the sustaining of crops, meaning that their role mirrored that of the feminine, sustaining and nurturing the growing things. That the figure of kami in the video game is portrayed as a traitor to her race illustrates that her judgment is poor and her double-mindedness further leads to a violation of the National Socialist Creed Minor Era Heist Troyer. Hence white females are subtly mocked as the Achilles heel of the white race and perhaps by extension the males who let them off the chank. The inverted red triangle kami wears over her right breast connotes feminism and an impassioned and martial feminine consciousness, and this on a black military vest connoting a Saturnian finitude or death-like quality and its barrenness. This is probably intended to be prognosticative, alluding to the death of the white race through feminism and the lack of traditional role play. What is unknown, of course, by the creators is that species propagation is already of no purpose, as a race war to come will be the deciding factor of world history on this earth plane. What is also unknown is that with Hitler's sacrifice, the Aryan race has already won only in a different dimension, first Hyperborea. Another victim figure is placed into the pantheon of world fighters in the Tournament of Shadow Lu and participates in a way purely for reasons consistent with his Oriental Hindu ethics, that being Dalsim, who only engages in such activity for the purpose of obtaining money to feed his village. Thus he is presented as a Gandhi-like archetype only in a more martial form, abiding by the Satyagraha-style ethics of Gandhi, only resisting the Western imperialism that coerces him to fight for the innocent. This characteristically passive-aggressive mentality is presented as a virtue of Shandalism in contradistinction to the vice of the master morality of Vigor, and is thus characteristically Judeo-Christian. The Oriental contrast between Sagat, the more Indo-European Lemurian hybrid and inheritor of the Theravada tradition, and the more Aryan Dravidian Oriental Dalsim, as well as the ethics of Chun-Li, presents the Oriental Sagat as more of a dark side masculine modality of Oriental or quasi-Oriental consciousness or essence and behavior, and the other two as feminine, even if perhaps more Aryan racially, as in the case of Dalsim. Perhaps this is an implicit tongue-in-cheek mockery of the Aryan and the resultant product of caste mixture on the part of the Kshatriya Japanese. The other token minority characters are added as means of appealing to the United States and British audience, those of DJ and T-Hawk. Here is presented the same guileful mockery on the part of the Japanese, who posits two figures representative of colonized nations manifesting their will to power within the context of the racial holy war of the Shadow Lu tournament, obtaining their right to oppose their colonialist oppressors by main force. Historically, the episode of the Windrush Caribbean backwash of colonization to England occurred in the 60s, just as did the Mexican into the States. Hereby the creators are mocking the Anglo-American imperialist expansion as it took on the sewage of the Third World it sought to control and exploit, a tu-quoque-style gesture on their part. This presumably is what the international Jews had planned from the beginning in setting up the white colonialists who they largely controlled and influenced and used in their expansion into non-white territory. Then, after finishing with them, they received the backstab by the international Jews' Morgul knife. The most significant figures in the game, at least viewed through Japanese eyes, are they who are the ultimate victors in the end, those being Ryu and Akuma, whose original name was Gogi, Great Demon, but having been requested to be changed by the Western affiliates to Akuma, meaning demon and connoting Satan or the devil, and having created a false connotation of Judeo-Christian evil associated with the character. Ryu is a representative of Japanese tradition, that of Zen or perhaps Shinto and Karate. He is portrayed as forever involved in a spirit quest, wandering the earth in search of combatants to hone his skills, not fighting the outer war against others, such as in the case of Vigo and Shadow Liu, seeking temporal power but seeking spiritual power through fighting an inner war of self-overcoming. Ryu's stage is that of the Japanese landscape, showcasing the beauty of Japan prior to westernization or modernism, the influence of European presence, and yet this assertion of autonomy and origins in spite of the Ainu-Aryan creators of Japan. Perhaps the allusion is to Shinto and the animism of the Japanese tradition in the pre-Ainu stock who subsisted in the islands of Japan long ago? An implied condemnation of the Aryan and their superimposition of culture? Regardless, Ryu eventually at the last phase of the tournament faces Vigo and is defeated. The Oriental defeated by the Aryan. However, the poetic justice as presented by the game's creators lies in the appearance of Akuma. Akuma is a spiritual figure, perhaps another one of the kami of Shinto, as he has features unlike all other characters, those of a non-human sort and with bright red hair, paradoxically connoting the Aryan origins of this figure deriving from or being identical with the Daivas of Hyperborea. This would further implicate the Aryan as fallen and hubristic, being defeated by the higher form from what he involuted. The probability he represents the clan spirit of Japan and its indigenous people is high, as Akuma defeats Vigo for supremacy, and as the last gesture of his appearance over the dead body of Vigo, he displays the back of his gi on which is emblazoned the heaven kanji, Japanese symbol for the transcendent, emblazoned in glowing fire for the elemental fire of spirit. Thus is conveyed the defeat of Aryan mankind by the primordial spirits of the Japanese. It is confusing whether Vigo does not represent the Jew rather than the Aryan, a confusion probably deliberate on the part of the creators who, being agreeable to the Anglo-American Zionist audience and markets, had to put the Aryan in place of the Jew as the archetype of evil, in the Judeo-Christian sense. Unless, of course, this is the sincere opinion of the Japanese to witness the fall of Aryan man and the hegemony of their supercultural organism in the form of Akuma, an archetype of their own supremacy. It is not enough to understand this motivation if one views the world through Western eyes. Neither is it adequate to view it through Eastern eyes, as both would be a distorted prism of half-truth. Rather, one must view the meaning of this entire franchise through Northern eyes, with the light of the North, of the Black Sun, not that of the Rising and Dying Sun, least of all the Rising and Dying Sun God of the Meiji and Near Eastern and Mediterranean type. The Aryan stands on the true throne of Leithskolf in Asgard, the realm of eternity in which only he may dwell. He thereby conquers in the spiritual plane, and he conquers through combat in the physical, even should he be defeated in the physical, through the triumph of the will. Hollywood White Man Part 1, the anti-hero. Hero within the context of Jewish Hollywood, the white man has been the greatest target of demonization, mockery and distortion of his true self. He has been portrayed in nearly all cases as one of the following three stereotypes, which has been seeded into the consciousness of the broad masses and have in all too many cases become a reality: 1. The white male as retard or dork, 2. The white male as hero of the Untermenschen, 3. The white male as psychopath or serial killer. All of the above stereotypes have served the dual purpose of: 1. Influencing the non-white male mass mind to view all white males as one, some or all of the above, and 2. To condition the white male to play one, some or all of the above roles, mimicking the simulacral presentation of his character, becoming this image of Hollywood invention. The beginning of the Hollywood movie industry with the early gangbusters films and cowboy movies often portrayed a Jewish man as the anti-hero's star who, owing to the fatal flaw of his fallen state, played the role of the villain. The villain was cast usually as more of a victim of circumstances and personal hubris than any fundamentally flawed nature, and this portrayal was a passive-aggressive strike against the white.